always really humbling to have the opportunity to share God's word. And I appreciate Michael extending the invitation to me. I really do. I also want to say I love worshiping with you. It's a glorious thing to be in this space and to hear the name of Jesus exalted. There's nothing like it. So, good way to begin our time together. Let's start with a picture that I'm guessing, have most of you seen a sign like that in our community? Yeah. Which is pretty remarkable. And I happen to notice that when we were driving to church tonight, heading this way, there's actually one just a couple blocks from our church on Liberty Road, which I had not noticed before. Who knew? Maybe it's been there a long time. I don't know, but now I'm aware. I also know there's one of those signs just two blocks from our home, two long blocks. And I see it most every day when I walk the dog. And I'll tell you, it's often just what I need. It's only three words, don't give up, but they land. I don't know if you ever feel like that, but I do. And I see that same theme in the book of Philippians as we've gone through chapter one so far. Michael presented the first segment and then the second, and he did it with such excellence, and I just gained so much new insight. And I see the theme that in the first section, the Apostle Paul was saying, don't give up, because God, who started the work in you, he's going to finish it. It's not up to you. Don't despair. God will do it. And then in the second segment, the Apostle Paul is assuring them that even though he is in prison and things look really bad, imagine if our Michael was in prison for sharing the gospel and how we would feel about our faith. And the Apostle Paul is saying to the Philippian church, don't give up. God is using this for incredible good. I'm chained to a Roman guard. I'm telling the Roman guards about Jesus. And other believers are gaining courage to talk about Christ. So don't give up. God is doing incredible things, even though it's very hard. And I believe that that encouragement was greatly needed, you know, amid that culture that was so hostile to Christianity. So tonight we'll wrap up chapter one. So I'll invite you to stand with me and we'll read this version on the screen together. There's a lot in there. It's really powerful. Like my exercise teacher says, 3, 2, 1. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you stand fast in one spirit. Oops, I made a mistake, didn't I? Let's just start. Let's just do a redo. We're just going to do it. This will be the last redo, I promise. Okay, let's try again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. And I'd like to pray before I go any further. Our gracious God, our Savior Jesus, our Counselor and Helper, Holy Spirit, we praise you that you are present with us. We praise you for the freedom to gather. We praise you for your word. We ask you now to teach us, enable us to gain the insights that you desire. I also would pray, Lord, that you would meet each one of us tonight with a word of hope, strength, comfort, whatever it is that would be the most life-giving, that you would meet us out of your great love. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you. Well, I decided as I was preparing this teaching that I would use some of the questions that our community group uses when we study scripture. Four of our people are here tonight, so it's a good group, I'll tell you. But the first question that we ask when we're studying a text is, are there instructions to obey? And in verses 27 through 30, here's what I see. You might see some others, but this is what I observed as instructions to obey. That we would let our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that we would stand fast in one spirit and mind together for the faith of the gospel, that we are not terrified in any way of our adversaries, and that we would believe in Christ and suffer for his sake, as Paul exemplifies. The next question, or one of the next questions we ask in our group, is what does this text tell us about God? And here are some things that I noted. It tells us that God cares about our behavior, and by implication, our attitude. Our behavior and attitude matter to God. This text tells us that unity is a priority to God for the faith of the gospel. He is the one who calls us to salvation, and he grants that we not only believe, but also suffer for his sake. Now, for me, that last one, that's the hardest to accept. And yet, it is prominent throughout the Bible. This is a huge topic, one we will not fully unpack tonight, but I pray that a few key insights will be meaningful. As shown in the life of the Apostle Paul, the Bible reveals two key areas of suffering. That which results from sharing the gospel or standing firm in some way for Christ, and then the suffering which results from the brokenness of our world. Some examples would be death and loss, physical or mental illness, fractured relationships, unfulfilled dreams, our own sin or sin committed against us, and countless others. We each are allotted a portion of suffering according to our own unique story, along with what impacts us on a community, national, and a global scale. In our text, the suffering is directly linked to Paul's imprisonment for proclaiming the gospel. He's literally writing to the Philippians from prison. Yet we also know that Paul suffered from an ongoing physical affliction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, he says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" That phrase, thorn in the flesh, that is graphic. I have a particular memory of a thorn in the flesh. It's kind of embarrassing, honestly, but I'll tell the story anyway. When our younger daughter, Becca, moved to Arizona several years ago, Mike and I went down to the Phoenix area to visit her, and she loves to hike, and so do we, so we were hiking through a beautiful area that had quite a variety of cactus. And I was very unaware of the reality of plants in the desert and that most of them want to hurt you. I didn't understand this. So we came across one and we have a picture. There it is. It's called a teddy bear cactus. Now in my mind, I didn't know the name, but just the look of it made me think, oh my, that's so soft. That looks so, I have to touch it. So I just took my finger and just kind of thought, this is going to feel so feathery. But the minute I did, I had like 10 or 15 tiny needle-like thorns sticking straight up out of the pad of my finger, and they hurt. And Becca, our daughter, she's like, "Mom, the desert wants to hurt you." I'm like, I got to tuck that away. But thankfully, someone in our group had a first aid kit with tweezers, and they were very kind and patient, and they sat with me and one by one by one pulled those tiny thorns out of my fingers. And I imagine you've all had a thorn in the flesh, maybe whether you've been camping and you put your hand on a plant that was you didn't realize was thorny, or you were working in your garden, or even if you're doing something outside and you get the, or in your home even, you get the smallest sliver. You just want it out, right? You want it out. It is not good. And this is the Apostle Paul asking God to remove his thorn. But God said to him, instead, I will enable you for the thorn. I will give you the grace to live your life with the thorn. I realize that here in our gathering, we represent quite a broad scope of thorns, of suffering, whether from the past or from hardships that we or people that we love are currently experiencing. I desire to proceed with care and gentleness, acknowledging that only the Lord fully sees and understands the depths of where we are or where we have been. Another question we ask in our community group study is, what related scripture or other insights did we discover? Here, I would like to concentrate on the phrase, suffer for his sake. We are called to suffer for his sake. And as I have reflected on these words, here is what has come to mind. Suffering for his sake is responding to suffering in a way that honors God and aligns with his word. Responding to suffering in a way that honors God and aligns with his word. For me, this does not happen naturally or quickly. It spans an indefinite timeline with lots of ups and downs, a mix of struggle and questions and tears and comfort from God's word and from his people, from worship, from vulnerable prayer, well-timed books. Most powerful, however, is looking to the life of Jesus. As Easter approaches, I would like to consider his example in the suffering God asked him to bear. On the night of his arrest, he prayed, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Mark 14:36. Matthew chapter 26 notes that Jesus repeated this exact prayer 3 times in a row. And the Gospel of Luke adds, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We cannot overstate the depth of Christ's suffering and the fervency of his desire to be spared. And yet, he ultimately chose surrender for the salvation of all who would believe. He willingly suffered to accomplish the Father's will. He willingly suffered to accomplish the Father's will. And because of his own anguish, Jesus offers us a sure place of compassion and strength. Hebrews chapter 4 gives us these really encouraging words. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word tempted is also translated as tested. Jesus was tested on every level we could imagine and beyond. He understands, as no one else can, our fears, our anger, our despair, feelings of helplessness and grief, he invites us to bring it all to him and allow him to bear the weights and soothe our souls. Suffering tests us like nothing else. It prompts huge questions with no easy answers. Why would God allow extreme or relentless trials in our lives? And how will we survive them? A book that has been an incredible help to me in this realm, so much that I've read it 3 times over the past several years, is titled Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. It explores the topic of laments, which flows throughout Scripture, especially in Job, Psalms, and Lamentations. The author observes, lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Lament creates a path through the messy wilderness of pain. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Lament creates a path through the messy wilderness of pain. And friends, for me, that word through is a lifeline. It is a lifeline. Learning how to navigate multifaceted layering of loss, following a path of lament brings peace even when circumstances do not change. The Hebrews 4 text speaks of mercy and grace to help in time of need. And this refers to God's kindness that keeps and strengthens and increases our faith. That's his grace and his mercy to keep, strengthen, and increase our faith. We cannot suffer for Christ's sake in our own strength. It is only by his mercy and his grace. In our community group, I like saying that, in our community group, I picture myself either at Holly's house or Patty's house or wherever we are. It's good to gather, and I hope that all of you are in a community group if you possibly can be. Anyway, that was an aside. The final question that we ask as we study through a text, we ask, what can I do this week to apply what I have learned from God's word? It's very basic, but it can be hard to answer. What can I do this week to apply what I've learned from God's word? And related to tonight's text, this might involve, what would it look like for me, for you, to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, as it says in verse 27, even as we suffer for Christ's sake? What would it look like to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, even as we suffer for Christ's sake? Perhaps it will mean forgiving for the first time or on an ongoing basis a wrong that has been done to us. It may involve saying yes when the Spirit prompts us to speak of Jesus in our work, our school, our family, even if we will likely be ignored or ridiculed. The Lord may ask us to extend kindness to someone that we find difficult. He may invite us to trust him afresh with whatever pain we are processing. For me, nearly 7 years of jaw and neck dysfunction have resulted in a life radically different than what I had envisioned. The scope of suffering is unpredictable and exhausting, limiting capacity for activity or connection with people in ways that the former version of myself could have never imagined. Boom, there it is. Whew, gotta lighten up. There's our sign. Why don't you just say that with me? Don't give up. It's so fundamental, but it can go really, really deep. I need the reminder. And yet I stand here tonight to declare God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient, just as he told the Apostle Paul centuries ago. The Lord has met me in every place of sadness, fear, disappointment, grief. I've seen him accomplish good and bring joy in ways that I would not have chosen, but now would not trade. The call to suffer for Christ's sake reminds me there is purpose in my pain as there is in yours. There is purpose in our pain. Several years ago, I wrote a book titled Honest Hope. And it's a collection of stories and scriptures related to how the Lord has helped me during hard times, far before this whole neck and jaw situation. I've been around a while, and he's always been good. And I would really be honored to gift a copy of that book to anyone who would like it, either for yourself or for someone that you care about. Just come find me after the service and we'll take care of that. Finally, if you are suffering and would like prayer, or if you're walking alongside someone who is suffering and you would like prayer for them and for you as you are partnering, I would invite you to simply raise your hand. And there's no need to share any detail at all. If you would like prayer, if you are suffering, or if you're walking alongside someone who is suffering, and you would like prayer from our Valley Church family, I would just invite you to raise up your hand. And I know it can feel a little uncomfortable, but if you'd like to do that, I would invite that. Thank you, and thank you. Just give another minute or two. We're safe, and we're called to stand together. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Okay. Okay, why don't if everyone else would just take a look around. We have two on this side. We have Edison and Isaac. If you just gather near them, and again, they don't need to tell us any of the details. Just maybe sit or stand near them if you would. We could just, in a show of solidarity, and yeah, we'll just take the whole crew. Let's just take the whole crew. It's just so special that we can do this for each other. Okay, yeah. And I think we'll just be quiet for a few minutes, and then I'll lead us in a short prayer. Gracious God, Jesus and Holy Spirit, in you we are seen, we are known, we are dearly loved. We bring you those in our Valley Church family who are suffering, whether themselves or walking alongside someone. Father, you know the scope, and you, there may be others here in the room that did not raise their hand, but you see them and you understand where they are. We pray and we believe you for a fresh infusion of mercy and grace, the comfort, the renewal, the peace, God, your compassion to surround. And Jesus, thank you that you meet us in our suffering. You show us that you weep with us when we weep. We trust you, O Lord, for renewed hope and for help. You know exactly what is needed in every regard. We trust you for your presence and for your peace day by day. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.